Starting a podcast has been one of the biggest drivers of growth in my business, but there are a lot of moving parts behind the scenes to release episodes every single week. That's why I'm all about finding tools to make the process easier. And one of my favorite podcast tools is Riverside. Riverside is where I record all my episodes and guest interviews. It gives me studio quality audio and video every single time. What I love about Riverside is that it records video in 4K and has a bunch of AI tools to make post-production easier and faster. So if you run a podcast or you're thinking of starting one, don't do it without Riverside. Trust me, I've tried a bunch of others and Riverside is the best. And the cool thing is, as a listener of this podcast, you can get 15% off your Riverside subscription using the code MYBUSINESSPLAYBOOK. So head on over to riverside.fm to get started today. Welcome to My Business Playbook, where we pull back the curtain on the steps and missteps of successful people. You'll hear a raw and unfiltered play-by-play of what's worked and what hasn't, giving you helpful advice and insights so you can build your dream business. I'm your host, Laura Higgins, and this is My Business Playbook. Well, oh my goodness, this conversation, it's so good. I took a page of notes. There's so much gold here, and I know you're going to find this so, so helpful. We are talking about Facebook ads. We're talking about your launch strategy. We're talking about your funnel. And oh my gosh, there's so much good stuff. Now, I am joined by my friend, Kwejo. Kwejo is the host of the Art of Online Business podcast. He is a Facebook ads manager and online business strategy specializing in serving course creators and coaches to help them to work less, earn more, and live the life they aspire to. He is a pro at all things ads. He is a whiz at all things funnels. You're going to love this conversation. Now, before we dive in, I want to, and like we get really specific in this conversation and you're going to find it really practical. So please take some notes as you're listening to this. It's going to help you a bunch. We talk a lot about launch strategy and we talk a lot about course, like this is specific for course creators. But I wanted to preface this by saying, if you are listening to this and you don't have a course, there is still some gold for you here. But also, if you really want to create a course, but you need a plan to do it, not many people know this, but that's actually one of the pieces that I teach people inside of the Next Level Club. Not every single person wants to create a course, but there are a bunch of people in our community who do, and they are doing so, so well. I'm so proud of them. We talk about how to build out your offer, how to launch, how to promote, how to sell, how to actually deliver an amazing program and create an amazing program for your students. So if you're interested, and I just wanted to say this because not many people know that we actually teach this as part of the Next Level Club. If you're interested, if you know you want to create a course and you know that there's a one-to-many offer for you and your business, but you just need some help with the strategy, with the how, and you kind of want to fast track a whole bunch of the mistakes, then head to laurahiggins.com/next-level and you can apply to work with me and we can chat about how we can help you to create a course and to ultimately scale your creative business. All right, my friend, you're going to love this conversation. So let's dive in to my deep dive Facebook ads conversation with Kwejo. Well, Kwejo, I am so happy to have you on the show. It has been a long time coming. We have wanted to have you on our show for such a long time. Thank you so much for joining us today. Just quickly, let people know where you're calling in from because I feel like it feels exotic to me.
Okay. Well, I live in Mexico, central Mexico. And before you, the listener, think I'm on a beach, I don't know, sipping Mai Tais under a palm tree. I'm about 3,100 meters in the air, altitude-wise. And I basically live in the desert with cacti and tarantulas and scorpions running around sometimes. So it's been four years
and
now.
And we were chatting before we hit record about your journey to landing in Mexico. And I feel like if you could give us like the kind of highlights of this, because I think a lot of people would find it fascinating.
The highlights. How can I condense this even more than what I told you? Okay, the highlights are I lived in China for 12 years and never planned on leaving China and had a business teaching expatriates, people who were not Chinese that live in China, how to learn Mandarin Chinese despite their busy day jobs. Had two kids. Well, my wife had two kids and I supported her. And she used to live in Mexico, though she is American, right? And loved speaking Spanish with our kids. So finally, I convinced her to let me go to Mexico with them to Spanish immersion school. And that date, that travel date, was January 13th, 2020. And so you all know what happened then. And so we started getting the news. People started looking at us and being like, where did you say you lived again? And we're like, we've been out for 2 weeks. It's okay. And we decided the school shut down. We decided, because, you know, we're Americans and we really love tacos and guacamole and all the Mexican cuisine, to stay in Mexico and quarantine there. Then, after like 2 or 3 months, China announces that they're shutting down their borders, you know, to contain this deal. And we decide we'll continue to quarantine in Mexico and just wait it out. Well, China didn't open their borders for like 2.5 years until January 2023. So we basically, not basically, we had to sell all of our things via my cell phone, FaceTime. Some friends went into our 4-bedroom place in China and got rid of everything. We were reunited with 6 luggages like 1.5 years later. Talk about minimalism and understanding, albeit we were forced, how little you need to survive. It's like, I didn't even remember really what I had after 6 months of just wearing the same things. Like, because we had one check-in luggage and a couple of carry-ons for our kids.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I shut down my business. Mexico became home, and that is when I got started managing Facebook ads and coaching, we'll say high level, because they were high level, online course creators in marketing and sales and funnels and all these things.
And I think it's so cool, Kweijo, because I think you know, and the word for the pandemic was, you have to pivot. Everyone has to pivot. And you really did. And I think, like, your story of being in the, like, you, not only did you live in China with your family, but you were teaching, you were teaching Mandarin, right? And so, like, your whole business overnight kind of shut down. Is that right?
Like yours, but yeah, the specific style of business of language learning I taught was very interactive, very much based in your local community and finding people who wanted to help you learn. And so, as you can imagine, during quarantine times, people were not running around their communities and learning, though they wanted to be. They were stuck inside. And so cancellation left and right. And I had a coaching program that was booked out several programs in advance because it was going quite well. And yeah, refunds, cash flow gone. I couldn't even get back into China. It was horrible.
Yeah. Horrible. Wow. So, kind of fast forward to today, you had this moment where you were like, oh crap, my business has shut down and I've got to figure out what to do. Before we fast forward to today, I want to know, what did you do to pivot? Because now you're working, helping people with funnels, ads, all of the things. What was that kind of little transition bit like?
Lots of crying, lots of praying,
yes.
Because Christian and Jesus. Yes. And literally, because we had tourist visas, right? And those expired after 6 months of Mexico. So then I had to spend a summer in my in-laws' basement, my in-laws who are not pro-China. They're very much anti-China.
Yeah.
And so at that point, probably the lowest point, I went to the gentleman, his name's Rick Mulready, who was a part of the high-level group coaching mastermind program I had participated in my old Chinese business, and asked him for a job. He gave me a job coaching because I knew quite a bit about online business, and I had found another part-time job doing Facebook ads management, and that's where those skills came from.
Yes, and so then... And it's such a cool moment. And Rick has been on this show before. We love Rick. So now what does the business look like? I know you've got an epic podcast. You have programs. You have all of this stuff. Talk to us about, what does life look like now?
life looks like me and 1, 2, 3 monitors day to day out. No, but so I am the host of the Art of Online Business podcast, which was Rick's podcast, but I acquired it as he made the shift to focusing on how to help online business owners navigate the AI space and save tons of time and be way more productive in their businesses with AI. I mean, he's great. He's the one who told me, hey, why don't you start? When he knew that he was going to pivot and pivot, I feel like that can be a word that masks like business, online business failure,
yes.
Right? But in his case, his business was going quite successfully. It's just that his interests were turning elsewhere. And as he was contemplating this, he encouraged me to start managing Facebook ads for my own clients and to start coaching my own clients. And that was fall of 2022. And now that's what it looks like. I am mainly a Facebook ads manager for high earning online course creators. I have a course that teaches people who are not quite breaking that 150K annual revenue mark, how to run Facebook ads exactly like I would run Facebook ads. And then I have the podcast, The Art of Online Business.
So cool. Well, you are a pro at all things Facebook ads, but not only ads, but like figuring out how does the ads piece fit into your overall customer journey and your overall funnel? Because I think that that's really important. And I know that the online space can be, it changes really quickly. When Meta makes a change, it can kind of mess with everyone's stuff. There are a lot of moving parts. And I also think it's really easy to, if you don't know what you're doing with Facebook ads, and if you outsource to someone, it's easy to kind of go, they're spitting all these numbers at me. I don't really know what it means. And I don't really know if I'm getting a return on investment. And I think that sometimes there can be bad operators in the industry who just charge a crap load and then like kind of, there's no accountability. There's no like, okay, cool. Well, where does this fit? Is this getting your results? Is this like impacting your bottom line? All of that stuff. So today I want to talk about how we can kind of empower ourselves to learn about Facebook ads, because anyone here who's listening, there is a huge opportunity for you with Facebook ads. And before you kind of switch off or go, oh my gosh, I can't do it. I can't do it myself. I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm just going to not worry about it. And that it's all too hard. Before you do that, I want to encourage you to lean in, because there is a huge opportunity for you to amplify what you're doing with Facebook ads, but you need a strategy. You need to know what's what. And someone like Quajo, you've come and helped us with ads and sat down with my husband and gone, hey, this is working. This is not, change this. And that has helped us a bunch. So if it's okay with you, Quajo, I have a few questions for you that I think our audience will be asking when it comes to starting with Facebook ads.
Fire away. I look forward to answering.
Okay. So when is the right time for someone to invest in running ads for their business? Is there a moment where you're kind of like, no, you shouldn't be doing ads yet?
I like to tell people that ask me that question, how is your offer doing organically? Or I should say with your email list and your organic marketing combined. When you can establish consistent profit in your business from launch to launch, then it's time to scale with Facebook ads. If you haven't, if like you're still working on figuring that out, first figure it out organically, because you have a good, strong, growing email list, hopefully, or you have a, you know, maybe you have an affiliate network set up of your friends or people who serve the same niche you do in a complementary, non-competitive way. However you're getting the traffic, establish that profit with your offer. Establish messaging that sells, an offer that serves the pants off of your customers, so to speak. And then it's time for Facebook ads. But you need that profit to scale with.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And one thing that I say to many of my members in my programs is, if ads are only going to amplify what's already there, it's not going to magically make your offer sell. And it's kind of like, if I were playing guitar, Quajo, and I were like, I'm not very good, like I couldn't play the chords, right? And then I tried to like plug it into an amp and like expect that if I amplify it, it's going to make me sound way better. It's like, no, if it sounds crap, it's going to sound crap just louder. You know what I mean? And so I think it's the same with ads. I think there's like, I love the idea of testing. Organic is the place for you to play and to see what works and to see what messaging resonates. So offer first. I love that. I think that's really, really strong.
You're right. You're very right. Offer is everything.
Offer is everything. So then, okay, so once we identify, okay, cool, I think that my offer's selling, it's pretty consistent, it's profitable, and it's performing well organically. Is there an ads strategy or a simple, maybe we should think about the funnel. Is there a simple funnel that is like step one for anyone who is starting out with ads?
Yeah, there is. And I'll share a shift that I'm seeing in more and more of my clients' businesses right now, which is back to the basics of having a solid lead magnet. All my clients do, but spending more of the ad budget on the lead magnet, delivering value to somebody that first enters the business ecosphere via the lead magnet, and then nurturing them for a number of weeks before the launch starts. And I know that's like the basic funnel that we've all heard of. And yet I have some clients that are spending, you know, $40,000-$50,000, on a launch. And what we're seeing is people come in to a paid launch, a webinar, a challenge, a boot camp, if you will, and participate and sit there, and they don't join the paid program until the next launch. And so more and more clients are just shifting ad spend to the lead magnet.
Right. So it's the placement of the budget rather than the like adjusting the spend. It's just going, well, why don't we spend more on the front end on the actual lead magnet itself?
Right. I mean, like me and you were doing, we're getting to know each other, and it's no different in the online business world. And so getting to know each other when you're an online business is just how much value can you deliver in a lead magnet? And then how good are your email nurture sequences? And lo and behold, people, because they know you, they like you, they trust you, they're willing to buy your offer if it can help them. And that's the basic funnel.
And are you still seeing, because I know specifically you are the pro at helping people, like course creators, coaches, are you still seeing the traditional, I say traditional, but like the kind of standard open cart, close cart launch model, are you still seeing that approach working well when it comes to ads?
Yes, absolutely still seeing that working well. It's been modified a bit. So what I'm seeing are a couple of changes. For some clients, the standard turn on ads 12 to 14 days before the launch to bring in registrants. For a couple clients, actually two clients, they've extended their pre-launch ad phase, if you will, from 2 to 3 weeks. That's also reflective of Facebook and its updates and the algorithm needing just a little more time to learn and optimize, as you know, me, the ads manager, and my team are tweaking and optimizing the ads too from our end. But still, I'm seeing 4 day, you know, to 5-6 day cart open period and then cart close. I'm seeing that work quite well.
Interesting. And so is there a reason that you think 4 to 6 days works better than, say, a 14-day or a 10-day launch?
I'm stammering now. I'm speaking to whether the launch is a webinar or a challenge, but once that first initial offer has been made and cart has been open, 4 to 6 days of cart open before somebody cannot buy anymore. So you're asking, am I seeing, or my opinion on why that works better than allowing somebody to purchase for 14 days?
Totally.
Well, because I don't like to spend money. I'm going to guess that like you don't necessarily like to spend money either. Nobody likes to spend money with, and especially, you know, an online purchase that could be anywhere from $700 to $4,000. Nobody wants to spend the money. And we, of course, because usually this requires change and a mindset shift, we might want the result, but we're just slow to change and we put everything off into the last minute. And so I do believe that selling is serving. And if you believe in your offer, then you don't want to give somebody 2 weeks to consider, because then life, as always happens. It's like when you make a decision to make a change, that's when you know that something will come up just to test you to see if you really want to make that change. So life happens. And the longer cart open period you have, the more life can happen. And even the most well-intentioned people who really aren't tire kickers, they just truly wanted to give it a good consideration and truly have that conversation with their spouse, they end up not buying, or fewer of them buy when you give them a super long time. Short time periods just motivate us into action. And so you test, right? You have to test, but still, 2 week cart open period, no, keep it short, 4 to 6 days.
Okay, this is really good. And then are you still seeing, when you're thinking about a launch, so are you still seeing that, like, okay, we're going to do ads 2 to 3 weeks for like pre-launch. What are the ads looking like for that? Are they going to a webinar? Are they just kind of like warming the audience up? What does that kind of look like?
Two to three weeks out from the launch, those are purely registration ads. And sometimes, right, depending on how difficult, let's call it, the ads climate is for a client, we might run retargeting ads. Let's say somebody visits the registration page and they don't register yet, then we'll have an ad that finds that person and says, hey, you were interested, how about you register? Straightforward ads like that.
Yeah. Okay. This is really good. Okay, cool. So we're doing a 2 to 3 week kind of pre-launch, getting people to register for the webinar. Do you find that when it's too far out, that impacts your show-up rates for webinars?
Oh, yeah. We had a client who is in the health industry, and this client turned on ads, I want to say 2 weeks before Christmas. And the reasoning I understood, right? The health industry, ultra competitive, and people are making their decision because it's a new year. I'm going to have a new you or a new me. And many times they are deciding slightly earlier. And the competition's very high during that time of year. And yet still what we saw was, because those ads were running about 4.5-5 weeks before the launch of the program, attendance rates were not abysmal, but they were quite low, and there was a very clear impact on sales compared to previous launches when we did like a launch debrief. And so I still have not seen an exception to that rule of 2 to 3 weeks before a launch turning registration ads on, because people forget. It's hard on us too as the business owner. Like, we might want to have the most phenomenal email sequence set up that goes out to somebody who registered for 4 weeks in advance to keep them engaged. But in practice, I have yet to see someone who could send out enough emails or keep the emails engaging enough to have a decent show up rate, the textbook 30% show up rate for somebody who registered 4 weeks before launch.
Yeah, so true.
It's difficult, right? Yeah. Or how early do you turn on your ads before?
We do about two weeks before a webinar.
All right.
But definitely we have seen show up rate for us. If it's mostly a warm audience, which our ads audience isn't as warm, if it's mostly a warm audience, our show up rate is really good. But if it's an ads, like, colder audience, we find that we have to keep it short and scrappy, the timeline between when they register and when the actual thing is, because they forget who you are. They're like, who's this Laura Higgins person in my inbox? So that shortening that little, it's kind of like a closing the loop as quickly as possible for them.
Yeah. It's exactly that, actually, closing the loop as quickly as possible. Otherwise they jump to another loop.
So, yeah. They're like, what was that? Yeah. So, and the other thing I reckon people forget that people aren't thinking about you. And so we're obsessing over this launch and we're thinking, I'm going to open the cart on this day and I'm going to do my webinar on this day and it's going to be magic and these are my slides and this is the thing and here's my 3 points and blah, blah, blah. We're obsessing. They've taken 2 minutes to fill in their name and email and they might not even know what it is that they're signing up for. And so I think sometimes we overestimate how much our how much our audience really thinks about us.
It's so funny. Even though I work with like established online course creators, I still get the same issue where, well, look, you know, let's say somebody hires me for an hour to consult their ads and they'll say the show up rate just wasn't that good. I'm like, well, let's go and troubleshoot. How many days, you know, did you turn on your ads before? And then the next question is, how many emails were you sending to somebody that registered? Oh, you mean to tell me somebody registered 2 weeks before and you only sent an email to them 36 hours before your launch? So they sat on your email list with zero emails for possibly up to 8 days, because I can math. And, yeah, you know, it's like we have to communicate a lot more than an email every third day or every other day, because I don't know about you, Laura, but I see some people emailing me twice a day and definitely at least every day in my inbox.
Yes. And I wonder, too, if our resistance to sending more emails is we worry about being annoying. But
well, sure.
When I'm also not thinking, I'm not going to read every single email that someone sends me, but I'm going to see their name in my inbox. So if you email me, Kwejo, I'm going to see your name in my inbox, and I'm going to, every day, I'm going to get a little reminder that, oh, Kwejo's sending me stuff. Kwejo exists. And it kind of is just like, it's this little, the name in the inbox and the consistency of someone seeing your name is almost as important as them reading the emails. Like, I think we kind of have to go, well, if our open rate is, I don't know what it would be. I don't know what the standard open rate is of an email, actually.
If you're getting an open rate of, let's say, 30%, that's amazing.
That's solid. Okay, cool. So 70% of people aren't even opening your email. So they're seeing your name, and we've got to actually go, well, there's merit in that. I think that we get in our own heads and we think, oh my gosh, I'm going to annoy everyone. Hey, my friend, real quick, I have a favor to ask. If you love My Business Playbook and if it has helped you in your business journey, then I would love for you to leave us a 5-star review. It will take you all of 60 seconds, but it means the world to me. And it helps us to get the word out about the show, which means we can help more people just like you. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get back to the episode. Okay. I want to talk more about the launch strategy, because I feel like so many people here might be thinking about, okay, cool, I want to launch a course, but I really don't know. I think like some people just want to know benchmarks of like, okay, what's the average lead cost? What should my opt-in rate be on a landing page? Do you find these questions, does this feel like how long is a piece of string to you, Kwejo?
It's, you're going to have to feel, I've never heard that saying, how long is a piece of string? Break that down for me. Us like, being from different sides of the world. I know we have our different vocabularies. And our different.
I've never thought about that, but yeah. Okay. How long is a piece of string? It's like you can keep pulling the piece of string from a ball of string, right? So it can just keep going. It's like, the limit does not exist. That's kind of what it's like. It's like, well, how long is a piece of string? Who knows?
All right. Got it. Who knows? No, that is very... So, side note, when I was in China, I had plenty of friends from Australia. And that was the first time that I learned that, like, in the States, we have this thing called a root beer float. But I think where you're at, they call it a spider. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Root beer float.
It's so cool.
That sounds like a whole different thing. In Australia, root means something completely different as well. And so it's just like, it's kind of, well, I'm not going to say what it means, but it's a little
bit
rude.
You don't have to go there.
It's a little bit rude, Kwejo. So like, we don't say root beer float because that potentially means something different for us. So we call it a spider, which feels like a kid's drink. It feels like a kid's drink. Anyway.
It's pretty cool. Language is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
You asked me about a launch, and now I think I lost the question.
Oh, so people looking for benchmarks of, okay, cool, like the 30% show up rate to the webinar, right? That's a good standard. The open rate for your email, those are really helpful numbers for people to have. So if we think about, if we go step by step through the funnel, there's a lead that signs up for your lead magnet, let's say, whether that's an ebook or a webinar or whatever, what would you say is like a good benchmark of, well, this is what you should be paying, or this is a ballpark of what you should be paying, like your cost per lead should be?
Oh, so we need some context. We need some context here. One thing is that we're going to talk about, if we're talking about a lead magnet versus a registration, or are we talking about registration for a launch?
Maybe let's do both because they're different, right?
Okay, cool. Great. And so then further down the line, is it a free launch or a paid launch? So let's start at the ad. Why don't we? One metric, there's like four, but one that really matters is your link click-through rate. Some people like to look at the outbound click-through rate. I have both enabled and they're usually the same or very close to each other. And that is the percentage of people that view the ad that actually click to leave the ad to go to your lead magnet opt-in page or your registration page. You need 1%. I know that sounds like a small number, especially if you haven't run ads before. I know you have, but the listener might not have, but you want 1%. And this is not like 1.25% is marginally better than 1%. A 1.25% link click-through rate is great. I'm thinking more like a logarithmic curve or a hockey stick curve for those of you who are like me that did not like math. 0.75% is horrible. 1% is good. And 1.25% is great. So you want to look at that link click-through rate. And then when you are looking at your landing page opt-in rate, especially if you're of a mind to figure out where is the best place to focus on your funnel to reap the biggest returns, if you're sitting at a 30% opt-in rate, that's like the standard number, as if anybody can get exactly that number. Let's say you're somewhere between 25% and 30% opt-in rate for your lead magnet or registration rate for your launch, then you're doing pretty good. Don't worry about that part. And I'm speaking about cold traffic, people who were not previously familiar to your business. If it's warm traffic, you should expect that to be higher. If you're below 15% opt-in rate for your lead magnet or opt-in rate as into your launch, then something is quite wrong and you should look at your landing page, your opt-in page, your registration page, make sure the tech is working like it should, make sure your page is loading kind of quickly, make sure your buttons are clear. They're one color for every button that it's easy to tell. This is a button that says, I want in, let me join, and that your value proposition is very, very clear, who you're serving, how you're helping them, and make sure those buttons are above the fold. So further into the funnel, you ready? Cost per lead, that's a tough one. I don't think we can say what the average cost per lead. I mean, you said that you were getting $2 cost per lead. It changes from niche to niche. It really does. Yeah. I will say and admit, though, I am very disappointed if I cannot get under, say, $4, somewhere between $3 and $4, a cost per launch registration for a client. I do always feel like I'm hitting a home run for my clients if I'm getting, say, $1.50 cost per lead.
For a webinar
and for a lead magnet.
But that feels really cheap to me. That's really, like, that's $1.50 for a webinar feels like, woof, that's...
Well, yeah.
That's insane. That's great. I mean,
it feels like, to borrow a baseball analogy, when I don't like baseball, but it feels like a home run at $1.50. But here's the thing, and you know this, what matters most, though, is the difference between your cost per lead, if you're running paid ads, and your earnings per lead, as in the total revenue you generate in a launch divided by the total number of leads that you brought in. There needs to be a healthy gap. If you're watching me, one hand is down here, that's cost per lead, and the earnings per lead you want to be as high as possible. Case in point, I have one client who does a paid launch, and so when you do paid launches, your cost per lead's quite high. I think for her, a good cost per lead was like $90-something for a paid launch, right? But routinely, we can get her profit to be like $168 per lead. So it's like, would you like to pay $100 per lead if you were making $168 per lead? Absolutely. So yeah, for a paid launch, disclaimer, paid launch.
And I think it's so, and this is where I think we try to, I think it's our brains trying to understand something that feels confusing. And when you go into Facebook Ads Manager, there are so many columns and there are so many metrics, and it can feel like there's too many numbers. I don't know what any of them are. And it can feel really overwhelming for people. And I think it's really important, if you are listening, that what Kwejo is saying around, like, these are, there's some benchmarks here. And I love the percentages. I think that the percentages are super helpful. But then the cost per lead, it kind of is like, well, if you're selling a $30,000 offer, you can spend a whole lot more to get leads for that offer, because you've got more, like, it's a more expensive offer. You've got more wiggle room. But if you're selling a $100 offer and you're spending $90 to get a lead, then that's a problem, right? So it's about the, it's kind of like treating it like, well, how much am I willing to spend to get a client or a customer? What do you think, because I don't know if you find this with people that you work with in your programs and in your coaching, sometimes there is a bit of resistance to spending on ads because they feel like, well, where's my ROI? And they have this kind of, maybe there's like a fear around investing in ads, or they don't know how much they're willing to spend to get a lead, because maybe they've been doing it organically and it kind of feels like, well, I'm getting them for free. Why would I spend $10 to get a lead? Like, that doesn't make sense. What would you say to someone who feels that little like, oh, but I don't know how much I want to spend to get a lead, but I don't know how I feel about investing in my advertising?
I would say, I guess if I put on my coaching hat, my consulting hat, and not just my Facebook Ads Manager hat, I would say absolutely, if you're not running Facebook ads, fine, but there is a cost to get those leads. You're either, you're paying somehow. If you're not paying for Facebook ads, you're usually paying in time. Resources from your team, because you have like an awesome social media presence, or maybe you're that unicorn who doesn't put much effort into your social media and people just love you and flock to you. Amazing, great. Or if you're doing it yourself and you're considering investing in Facebook ads, but it's really hard for you to let go of running your own Facebook ads because you do a decent job, here's where you got to look at: who's the CEO of your business? That is you. And what are you best at in your business that brings in the highest ROI for your business? Because you might be decent at running ads, but I would put a lot of money, if I was betting, on saying that there are certain things in your business as a CEO that only you can do. Many people can run ads, but how many people can work on your messaging so that your funnel converts better? How many people can be you and go get on somebody's podcast and expand your reach to a new audience? How many people can maybe go speak on a stage? How many people can work on your webinar and make it convert better? Those are things only you can do. And so as soon as you offload, as soon as you let somebody else run your Facebook ad, you're freeing up a certain amount of time that you can then put into your business and get usually a higher ROI for your time invested. And that's what it's about. Now, there are definitely horror stories, and they're quite real, of Facebook ads agencies who pull one over on you, who take your ad account hostage when you want to stop services, or they never even give you an ad account. They run your ads through their ad account. And contractually, they say, I've seen it. Like, I had one client who came to me and I do an account audit at the beginning. And then he's like, oh no, we can't use any of my previously running ads. I'm like, why not? He's like, because my previous ads agency, they own them. And like, by contract, I can't use them. I'm like, what? That is insane. Like, who would do that to? Well, there's ads agencies that do. So yes, these stories exist. So go through a recommendation.
Yes.
Everybody has ad agency horror stories, but there are good ads managers who do things ethically and who do a good job. So get a recommendation from somebody who you trust, and then let somebody else manage your ads so that you can take your time and put it in a spot that's much more valuable for your business.
Totally. And do you think there is a recommended, like, let's say you're not in a launch. Let's say you're just doing ad to a lead magnet to your email list, and then in your email list, you're making offers. Is there, like, before you start outsourcing, should you be spending a certain amount per month? Like, should you be saying, okay, cool, I need to be spending $2,000 a month before I think about outsourcing? Is there a number that you think we should be investing in before we should start thinking about outsourcing?
I like your questions. I will say that right now, the lowest ad spend of all my clients sits right at about $600, $700 a month.
Okay, cool.
So that's how I'll answer that question.
Yeah, no, that's great. So like, that's not crazy. And that's really manageable for people to get started, because I think it's nice to just ease your way in, start getting some feedback. And it's so interesting. And like, kind of what you've shared already is like, we kind of also almost need to become like investigative journalists or something. Like, we need to like kind of get really curious about our funnel. The amount of people that come to me and they're like, Laura, I've spent $300 on ads. I've had 300 impressions, whatever it is. And it's like, oh, like, what should I do? They're not working. And it's like, well, you haven't tested enough yet, right? Like, there has to be, you haven't had enough eyeballs on this yet to even start talking about this yet. We can't optimize.
Right.
We can't optimize until we actually have enough traction. So there's that piece, but then there's also kind of a, I think sometimes, and maybe I'm just speaking from, you know, if I think about my audience, it's creatives, and a lot of the time we can go, numbers are too hard basket, or the ads, there's too many numbers. I can't compute, and it just becomes a bit challenging. And I totally get that. And I've had to pull myself up on that when I go, oh, that's not me. Nate does that because he's really good at that stuff. I've had to go, no, I need to know my numbers. It's really important. And so there's every step of the funnel we need to investigate. Okay, if I change this, what would happen? Like, what would that do for my opt-in rate? If I change the title of the lead magnet, what would that mean? Does it convert better or does it convert worse? We kind of almost need to get curious with like, okay, let's have some fun and let's test things. But it seems to me like people are a little bit afraid of that or don't have the time to do that. So what would you say to someone who's kind of like, all right, my ads aren't working. Quajo, my ads just aren't working. What's the first thing that you go, all right, you need to look at this?
The first thing is the offer. moving past the offer, test. And I'll give you a very simple way to test that is not intimidating. Before you turn on your ads, have at least two pieces of ad copy that are different from each other. Let's go ahead and make this ultra concrete. If your offer solves one problem, it should solve one problem very well, maybe two problems very well for your potential customers, then how about to make some simple ad copy, figure out what that problem is, and then look at frustrations around that problem and start there with your ad copy. This tangible frustration that is a symptom of the root, well, that's a bad word where you're at, of the core problem, of the core problem, and then how your solution helps out. Start your ad with two pieces of ad copy. Come to the table, so to speak, with a couple different pieces of ad creative. If it's a lead magnet, look to your organic posts on Instagram, your organic reels, and see which one has done well that relates to that lead magnet. Try that in an ad. Try a different one in the ad too, but just be systematic about it. Like, one reel, two pieces of ad copy. Give it 3 days, see which one performed the best, shut off the loser, and then take that winning piece of ad copy and now test it with another piece of ad creative. Try a graphic in there, you know, and just be systematic. If you do that, then I won't even say you're almost guaranteed, because I have a course that teaches this, and lots of people have emailed me saying, like, this works. And this is the exact same strategy that I use to test ads for my clients. Whenever we start off with a lead magnet ad, I have three pieces of ad copy, and we have one creative. We see the winning ad copy. We shut off the losers. We bring in other creatives. And then once we have the best ad copy and ad creative combo, then we branch out. If we haven't met our cost per lead goal, then we branch out into testing different audiences. So just test a bit, and you'll be surprised what you didn't know and what you were missing out on in the form of lower cost per lead.
Yeah, this is so helpful. Well, I feel like I could ask you a million more questions, but I am conscious of your time. You
I got a moment if you got a moment.
Well, I just, the only other question I had for you, well, I think the most important question is, what are you seeing, you know, in terms of what's working right now in ads? And we were talking about creative, and we're talking about copy and the visual. What are you seeing is working better? Are you seeing video work better? Are you seeing photos, iPhone stuff, professional stuff? What trends are you kind of seeing?
Video. People used to say video is absolutely the best. The platforms are focusing on video, and that has been true for a number of years now. And yet, up until about August of last year, 2023, I still used primarily graphics for my clients. And there's a reason I did this, because when you make video, people have to watch the entire video.
Yeah.
So a graphic is more quickly, it makes sense, right? But we don't think about it like this. And so if you have a video, it does test your video making skills, and something we love to look at on like YouTube or Instagram is viewer retention. And if you have like a 60-second or 120-second video, you've got to try to hold people's attention. And that brings into like, how are you talking? How are you presenting the argument? You know, what's your video editing looking like? Okay, so I loved graphics because they're instantly consumable. I know what this thing is for. Is it a lead magnet? Is it a webinar? How can it help me? Nevertheless, you ask what I'm seeing working right now. It's vertical video, and it's working better and better for clients, as in I'm encouraging more and more of my clients to do it. And the ones that are doing it are usually seeing a lower cost per lead. And so have vertical video. Don't worry about having it be super polished, though. I'm seeing raw vertical video. We're talking captions. Yes, put captions on the video. Do they have to be like Alex Hormozy level captions? No. And still test. Like, I have one client, we test captions and no captions, and her videos that have no captions, just her sharing to the camera, work better than the ones that have captions. But yeah, I would say confidently, vertical video with your cell phone, there's a little bit of shake in the cell phone, which, why would you do that? So people like could just feel like it's a lot more natural and it seems more organic. That is working really well. So
that is really, really cool. And I think this is what we're seeing, and it kind of feels like it mirrors organic in a lot of ways, because what we're seeing in organic is that the scrappy iPhone camera videos are really performing well. There's, you know, some of our pro stuff still works really well, but it's interesting. And actually a lot of our graphics still work well. So it's fascinating. But I do think more video for us is definitely on the cards, and more raw, which I prefer. Yeah. I prefer pro personally, but I have to get out of my own way and go, okay, cool, I'm going to do some raw. iPhone looks a bit kind of hodgepodge. Yeah. Do you know what hodgepodge
means? I
will
say that I saw a video that you were running,
yeah,
and it did look really cool, because it was like you were talking next to, I think it was a Jeep or something, like the brand, yes, not the style of car. And then you like got in the car and the camera angle changed. And I was like, this is cool. You know, it just comes down to testing. You like, yes, you like the pro video.
I like the pro, but that ad did perform really well. And there was like quite a lot of, we had to move, it was like the back streets around the suburb where I live in Sydney, and we had to drive around for ages filming and getting me talking and moving. But I think the movement in that and the change of the scene, the quick cut, I think that that kit, like you were saying, we've got to, if it's a longer video, we've got to keep people's attention. So I think that that kind of did that. So we're definitely going to do some more stuff like that, because that was actually really fun.
I when I saw that, and I saw, well, when I saw the stats on that too, but I was like, this is a solid, ad.
This is fun. Oh, I like it because it's fun, and Nath likes it because it performs. So that's good. Kwejo, thank you so much. You've helped us a bunch. I know people listening to this, A, are going to want to listen to your podcast. B, are going to want to check out some of your training and material that you have, because there's so much more to learn from Kwejo, everyone listening. So where can people listen to you, check you out, and find some more stuff?
My podcast is The Art of Online Business. That could be the first stop. I'm guessing you'll link it up in the description below. That is where I share twice a week at the time we're recording this video, but by the time it airs, I think it will be three times a week, tips and tricks and strategies about how to grow from low six figures for you course creators, online course creators and membership owners, to high six figures. And then behind the scenes of me running ads, I do this really cool segment where I review people's, usually the top of their funnels, their ad or their lead magnet, their thank you page, their opt-in page, some of their emails. And so I do that visually. So there's the YouTube channel for the podcast too, where people can see that. If someone wants to take the next step and just hire me for an hour to help you figure out why your ads aren't working or where we can optimize the ads better, then just head to my website, theartofonlinebusiness.com, and we can start there. And if you're thinking about maybe having me manage your ads, I'm happy to do that. Go ahead and apply for ads management on theartofonlinebusiness.com too.
Amazing. Well, Kwejo, thank you for all the work that you do, and for, you really make ads feel like, oh, okay, cool, I can do this. It's just, I can figure this out. And I think that that is so valuable. And can say you are not one of the ads managers who does the weird, unethical, weird stuff. You're one of the good guys. So thank you so much for the work that you do. It is so valuable. And I know that a lot of people listening to this will have been, like me, taking loads of notes and will want to connect with you more. So thank you so much for what you do.
You're welcome. It's been an honor to be here, and I hope the listener, like you, take some of the advice that resonated with you and go implement it tomorrow. Don't wait until it gets fuzzy and it's,
yes,
a stack in your big sack of to-do list.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Kwejo. You are amazing. Well, I hope that you found that super, super helpful. Kwejo is the sweetest human alive, and he really knows his stuff. So, hey, if you want to check out more of Kwejo's stuff, head to our show notes. We've popped all of the links that you need so that you can check out his work and connect with him more. I love your work, my friend. And remember, if you're like, ooh, okay, cool, I'm ready to do this, and I think there's a huge opportunity for me to create a course or a program or a membership, whatever that looks like, then potentially we can help. So head on over to laurahiggins.com/next-level, and you can apply to join us inside the Next Level Club. We can help you to take your course idea and turn it into a reality. That is one of the pieces of the puzzle that we work with people on. And we don't talk about it that much. So I thought, I just need to let you know that if you need a little help in this area, holler at your girl. I could help you out. It would be fun. I love your work. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you back here same time, same place next week. In the meantime, go get 'em.